Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Attorney Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Jason, I'm doing really well. I hope you are. I mean, here we are getting ready for Christmas.
We are getting ready for Christmas. The year is winding down, and it's been a busy week for you.
Yep.
You just had your webinars this past Wednesday, so you know the change in the calendar means a change in lots of different things for you, Bill.
Well, and so with that said, I would want families to know that our next set of webinars and seminar will be Wednesday, January the 8th. It's the second Wednesday of January and each following month, because in essence we do those on the second Wednesday of each month. But, you know, frankly, this is a time of year where families do get together, typically at Thanksgiving and or at Christmas. And oftentimes we recognize the fact that we have a loved one who is struggling. And then we start, what are we going to do? And truthfully, one thing that some folks avoid is going to see a lawyer. Now, I understand that. At the same time, though, this is a time when an elder law attorney can be of great help. And of course, our webinars and our seminar helps families in a big way because it gives folks accurate information in an area that's complex and an area where there's a lot of bad information out on the street. And because even most professionals, unfortunately, only know a little bit about Medicaid or special assistance or veterans benefits or those programs that can actually help families with financial assistance, because it's pretty rare for a family who has long-term care issues where they can actually afford it without financial assistance. And to know with accuracy what those rules are and whether you and or your loved ones can actually become eligible and protect your property. That's just as important when it comes to financial assistance. Our webinar and our seminars are the best place to start because you can get good, accurate information. It's free and it's like, okay, you have to invest an hour and a half to 2 hours of your time, but why wouldn't you do that? I mean, it's a no-brainer. To get that kind of information in an educational setting that's free. Now, we always have a good time with our webinars and our seminar. And I have to say that, unfortunately, this past Wednesday, we had cancel our evening seminar. I mean, the weather was horrible, and we didn't want folks to have to go out in this kind of weather, you know, where you were getting all of these alerts to stay, you know, seek shelter, that sort of thing. But, you know, the nice thing about a webinar is that you can do it right there at home, or if you're at your office, you can do that. And some folks even do it on their smartphones, which is perfectly fine. Now, I don't think I could do it on a smartphone, but, you know, it's the kind of thing where that's extremely helpful. I also, you know, while I would encourage folks to sign up for our webinars and seminars, I know that there are a lot of folks out there who have listened to me on WPTF for the last 20-some years, and I have to announce that as of the beginning of 2025, I will no longer be on WPTF. But I would tell folks to check out my website for a big announcement on where to find my 11 o'clock Saturday morning radio show. My website is wgalaw.com. And check it out, not only for my webinars and seminars, but for my radio show as well. Obviously, I'm excited about being back on the air on Saturday mornings. That's where I've been for 20 years and where I want to stay. So anyway, I want folks to know about that so they can join me.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Bill. And I know you also have, as we're about to turn the calendar here to 2025, some important information related to the Corporate Transparency Act, which you have been very vocal about.
Well, this is a new federal law that I have been talking about for months. But the fact is that, and it involves anyone who owns or a part owner of an entity, a corporation or LLC. And to my surprise, the majority of people that I talk to have never heard of it. Now, the folks who've heard me before know that I do not like this new federal law. I think it's baloney. I think it's unnecessary. It's expensive. And you can't blame it on one party. You can't blame it on the Republicans. You can't blame it on the Democrats because they were all involved in other words, this is one of the few times that Congress actually, in a bipartisan way, agreed to pass this horrible legislation. Okay. Now, with that said, the problem with the Corporate Transparency Act is that it requires all of us law-abiding citizens to file an intrusive report to Homeland Security through what's called FinCEN. Now, it's all online, and it is free. So if you have an LLC and you get something on your email that says, fill out this form and send us some money, that's a scam. And there are lots of scams going on. I will say that. But it is absolutely free. It's all online. And if you have a simple one where you're the sole owner or you and your spouse are the sole owners, those are relatively simple to do. But if you have one where other folks are involved, or you're a member of you're on a board of directors of a homeowners association, they have to file too, by the way. This law requires everybody to file a verified report to them. So you have to give them all your private personal information. And you have to send them a scanned copy of your driver's license or your passport. And your failure to do so results in a $500 per day fine for noncompliance. And here it is. Willful noncompliance is a criminal act. It's, 2 years in prison. Now, I don't expect anybody to be in prison, but it's 2 years in prison with a $10,000 fine for willful noncompliance. So the only folks that would willfully noncomply are the folks who aren't going to do it to begin with, the bad guys, if you will. Because, why are they doing it? They're making everybody do this in order to try to help them figure out money laundering and support to terrorist organizations. Now, that's a legitimate reason, but to require 30 million business owners to file this kind of report with that kind of liability is absolutely absurd. Now, with the good news is that first, a federal judge in Alabama declared this law unconstitutional, but the Alabama judge only made it apply to that particular plaintiff. So it didn't apply to the rest of us, and Homeland Security said, screw that case, you're still going to have to abide by this law. So everybody else, other than except for that plaintiff, at least that was the first go. Now, the good news is last week, a Texas federal judge declared the law unconstitutional, and he made his order apply nationwide. So thank the Lord. Now, here's the problem. That case has already been appealed, so we don't know what a court of appeals or possibly even the U.S. Supreme Court will do with that case. The only thing we know for sure is that the deadline of December 31st, in order to fill out these this what's called the BOI, Beneficial Ownership Interest Report, is delayed. In other words, it's no longer the deadline. But of course, if in fact the case is overturned on appeal, then of course Homeland Security will have to set unless the court does it, Homeland Security will have to create a new deadline. Here's where the problem is right now. A lot of folks who have just learned about this, and they've gone online to the Homeland Security website in order to file their BOI report, like good little children. The fact is the website's crashed. In other words, you can't file your report because you can't get online because there are too many people trying to do it at the same time. You know, typical government stuff, right? what I would say to those of us, particularly those who have a simple LLC or corporation where there's only one or two people involved in it, you would probably be smart to go ahead and file the report. In other words, even though the courts have said this is not required, at least now, it's an unconstitutional law, then the fact is that if you don't file it by December 31st, you better stay tuned, not just to me, but you know, based on what newspapers and everything or going online frequently, because if it gets overturned, I guarantee you that they're going to want these things filed as quickly as possible. So it's kind of thing where if it's overturned, you better be ready to have everything filed. And my recommendation is to have, if you don't file it, have everything ready to file so you're not moving around at the last minute trying to get all the information that you need to file the BOI. Now, if what I have been talking about is totally foreign to you, you're going, I've never heard of this before, what's he talking about? The best advice I can do is to tell you to go online to and just Google or use your whatever you call it, Jason, your where you can look something up.
Any search engine.
Any search engine. Thank you. Just Corporate Transparency Act, and it will take you to the government website. Make sure you don't go to any other website because it'll probably be a scam. But go to the government website, and it's where you file your what's called your BOI, Beneficial Ownership Interest report to FinCEN, FinCEN. And don't pay any money because if anybody asks you for money to it, then it's a scam because this is free. It's just a pain in the behind to get it done. So it's unconstitutional for now. Yay. if folks have not already filed their report, then they need to at least get ready for it. If it were me, I would be ready to file it, but I wouldn't file it until I had to. But you have to stay tuned if you don't go ahead and file it. They are Homeland Security is actually encouraging people to ignore the court order and to go ahead and file these reports.
Well, thank you for the update, Bill, and for the recommendation as well. It's helpful information that you always provide here on the program. And if you need helpful information when it comes to speaking with an elder law attorney, you should reach out to WG Alexander & Associates. You can do that by going to WGALaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney at WGALaw.com. You can also find information there about the free webinars and seminar that Bill mentioned earlier in the segment. If you need information related to long-term care assistance, financial assistance for families dealing with a long-term care crisis, looking for information about Medicaid or VA benefits, that's one webinar that you can register for free. If you're interested in learning more about asset protection and trust planning, that's another webinar that you can sign up for, and the in-person seminar that is typically held in the evenings at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. You can learn about legacy planning in that one. It's a bit of a hybrid of the content that is discussed in the two webinars. It's free to sign up. There's no cost associated with the webinars or the in-person seminar. Go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button there to learn more. Quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is how you can find information about WG Alexander & Associates. If you are in need of speaking with an elder law attorney or need some documents drawn up or reviewed by an elder law attorney, WGALaw.com is where you can go to get that process started. You can also call the office, 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. And don't forget, if you're interested in signing up for the free webinars, the first set of webinars happening in 2025 will be on the second Wednesday of January. That's Wednesday, January 8th. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, or asset protection and trust planning, or legacy planning. Those are the three options that you can choose from. It's free to attend. Go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, I know not only do you love your webinars and your seminars, but you also love the opportunity to share this information with whoever would benefit from it.
Well, no question about it, Jason. In fact, this past week, I had the pleasure of meeting a wonderful senior group at Northeast Baptist Church, located in Durham. They wanted me to do a presentation on legal documents that are appropriate and important for seniors. And of course, that's something that I love to do. So I would say to others who have a group where you would like a speaker to present on estate planning or elder law issues or asset protection or veterans benefits or the like, that I enjoy doing that as long as we can set it up, with advance notice, those kinds of things, because my calendar stays pretty full. So you can't call me up at the last moment, but at the same time, normally, if we set something up a couple months, 2 or 3 months in advance, that's something that I can do, and it's a lot of fun for me to do it. But at this particular presentation, yes, I did talk about legal documents that seniors need, and quite frankly, all of us as adults need 6 legal documents. Now, I focus on a few of them, but the fact is that all of us, particularly those of us who have created an estate, we need a last will and testament. we need a general durable power of attorney. And I'm going to come back to that one because that one's so important, particularly for seniors. We need a health care power of attorney. We need an advance directive for natural death. And we need a medical release for HIPAA compliance. So those, you know, the healthcare power of attorney, the advance directive, and the medical release are the three healthcare documents that we should all have. And then now we need what's called a digital release. The legislature put that in place, godly day, about 5 years ago. Might have been longer than that because time passes so quickly these days. But the fact is that families go online for each other to pay their bills and things like that. And a digital release is your authority for someone else to go online using your username and password in order to do what's necessary to do what's in your best interest. And more often than not, it's paying your bills or going online to get something straightened out that needs straightened out. And a digital release is the way to do that. So now, and I would say even one of the things that is becoming more important is when your teenagers reach 18 years of age, by law, they're now adults. So guess what, Mom and Dad? You no longer have the right to make healthcare decisions for them. And so I encourage parents with folks who are, you know, finishing high school, going to college, whatever, because most people don't think about the fact that what if your child is in an accident and somebody needs to be there to make healthcare decisions for them. You never know. You know, bad things happen to us. So having a healthcare power of attorney and an advance directive and a medical release for even our 18-year-olds, but obviously if you haven't done it and your kids are 22 or 23 and unmarried, you know, those kind of things, they don't really need a will because at that point they're still living off mom and dad. But the point is that but they do need healthcare documents so that they can appoint you and your spouse as their agent just in case they end up in a hospital and they need your assistance making healthcare decisions for them. And those are sad situations, but they do happen regularly. But the fact is all of us need those documents and more. And of course, some families benefit by having trust-based planning. In fact, a lot of folks do. But a trust is not something that's needed for everyone. That's for sure. Although there are some attorneys out there that basically say it's beneficial for everyone to have a trust. And I'm not in that camp, even though I love doing trusts and I make more money doing trusts than will-based planning. But the fact is that if you have a complicated situation, then a trust actually does make a huge difference in terms of a good estate plan. And when I talk about, you know, what's a complicated situation, if you have a significant legacy that you're leaving to your children, your ability as to how you want to leave it to them, you can do that with a trust. And that makes a huge difference. But let's say that you're in a second or third marriage and you have children by a previous marriage. That's a complication. You know, if you own real estate outside the state of North Carolina, that's a complication. I can tell you anybody that owns real estate in more than one state is wise to have a trust because I guarantee you it will cost you and or your family less money to have a trust-based plan than to have to do two probates. In other words, you have to do a court administration in North Carolina, and then you have to do one in the other state. And if you have more than you know, two states involved, and you're just saving that much more money. I'll never forget, and this was probably 20 years ago, I had a little estate where a fella died in North Carolina, had a fairly small estate here, didn't take much effort to clear it up here, but he owned a home in South Carolina, and it was a dumpy little home. It wasn't at the coast. It wasn't in the mountains. It was about 75 miles inland, and it was worth about $75,000 or less, not in good shape. And guess what? Of course, it cost about $5,000 to get that house administered in South Carolina. And that was, I mean, to me, it was maddening, because it didn't cost as much of anything to take care of the estate in North Carolina, but just to get the house in South Carolina to the family members where they could sell it properly and legally took a lot more than it should have. And of course, a trust could have cleared that up quickly, fast, cheap, no big deal. And so there are times when trusts make a huge difference. But of course, if you need to do tax planning, trusts make a difference. If you need to do Medicaid planning, trusts make a difference. So there are lots and lots of different opportunities where trusts make a huge difference. But what I want to focus on, and what I focused on with my meeting with the senior group in Durham, is the fact that most seniors do not have the right kind of general durable power of attorney. And that's true even if your power of attorney was done by a lawyer, even if it was done a year or two ago. Unless your power of attorney was done by an elder law attorney, it's probably not what you need as a senior. Now, with one caveat, and a caveat means warning, just so you know, but with one warning, that as long as you have a person in your life, whether it's a spouse or a child or a sibling, but someone that you have absolute trust in, a person that you know won't steal your money, won't take advantage of you, and will always do what's in your best interest. And if you have children or a spouse, that they won't take advantage of your family members either. In other words, they will honor your wishes to make sure that your property goes to the folks that you want it to go to at your death, and those kind of things. If you have that kind of person in your life, and most of us do, then an enhanced power of attorney is what a person needs as a senior. And just because so many people think that a power of attorney allows you, a general power of attorney allows you to do anything. And it's not that way at all. A normal general durable power of attorney is very limited in terms of what it authorizes you to do. And you can only do that which is authorized and no more. And an enhanced power of attorney gives much broader authority to your agent. Now, for those of us who are married, it's almost always that your spouse is also your agent. And if it's a long-term marriage, then normally it's a very trusting relationship, that sort of thing. But I know we have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how an enhanced power of attorney is different and why it's important for seniors to have it.
Having that trusted individual is an important part to all this planning and making sure that you've got the documents in order and that they are working in the way that you intend them to and that you will actually need them to. So as Bill said, if you haven't had your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney, you should go ahead and get a hold of the team at WG Alexander and Associates. They can make sure that your documents are in order, or maybe you've never had documents created. They can also get those started for you as well. You don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you think someone has the authority to make important financial changes for you when you are unable to make those decisions for yourself. So make sure that everything is in working order. If you would like to schedule an appointment with someone on the team at WG Alexander & Associates, you can go to WGALaw.com. WGALaw.com. You can also find information there about their free webinars and seminar, WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button for more information or call the office, 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. A short break and back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Find more information about WG Alexander & Associates at WGALaw.com. Register for their free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, January 8th by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis, and how most middle-class families can gain access to financial assistance. This is helpful information with regards to Medicaid as well as VA benefits. Go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button at the top of the page to register for the long-term care assistance webinar. Maybe you're interested in learning more about asset protection and trust planning. There's a webinar dedicated solely to that, as well as an in-person seminar dedicated to legacy planning. WGALaw.com is the place to go. Click on that seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we were just discussing your recent trip speaking to a senior group and discussing important legal documents. The General Durable Power of Attorney was one.
Absolutely. And I want to get right back to that. But before I do, I want to again invite my folks that have listened to me for many years on WPTF, want to invite you to join me on Saturday mornings again at 11 o'clock. But I would tell folks to check out my website for a big announcement on where to find my 11 o'clock Saturday morning radio show. My website is wgalaw.com. And check it out, not only for my webinars and seminars, but for my radio show as well. Now, with that, getting back to the General Durable Power of Attorney, and the first thing I would say is seniors need, if they have a trustworthy agent, an enhanced General Durable Power of Attorney. And enhanced powers of attorney are done by elder law attorneys who are intimately familiar with Medicaid and other benefit planning to help seniors if they have a long-term care crisis. Most powers of attorney that lawyers do are relatively simple. Oftentimes they are what we call short-form powers of attorney. And quite frankly, the bad news is that those powers of attorney don't allow us to do any significant asset protection planning, which is exactly what you need if you have a long-term care crisis. Now, an enhanced power of attorney does not say enhanced on it. My enhanced powers of attorney say general durable power of attorney, just like any other general durable power of attorney that's not enhanced. But the difference is what's in the meat, you know. What was that commercial? Where's the beef? That's what's important in a power of attorney that authorizes you to do significant transfers. I mean, a big one that this will surprise you. Most powers of attorney have no gifting authority to your spouse. Now, let's assume that your spouse is your agent. I mean, that's the case 95% of the time. Most powers of attorney would not allow your agent to transfer your property to themselves. Sometimes they'll allow limited gifting, like what's called the annual exclusion amount, which this year is $18,000. Next year, it's $19,000 per person for gifting. Now, there are some people out there that still think it's $10,000, but that was many years ago. Okay, so if you have that exclusion in your power of attorney, very common, then it means that you cannot gift more than $18,000 in value a year. So that doesn't do you much good. Some will say you can only gift that which has been historically given. Well, guess what? You normally don't make those kind of significant gifts to your, I mean, you don't transfer the house to, you know, that's not historical, is what I'm saying. Historical gifting is basically so that you can still tithe to the church and do things that you've always done for the children, the grandchildren, your church, and others. So that's really not what that's about. Where and why is that important? Well, with Medicaid planning, your spouse is the one and only person that you can transfer, i.e. gift, property to, and it's not a problem. It's not penalized. It's not sanctioned. It doesn't matter if it's within 5 years of your application. So guess what? For our married clients where there is a spouse who is very sick and needs assistance, the first thing we normally do is to transfer all of the couple's property to the healthy spouse. Because what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is that the healthy spouse dies first. Because with seniors, you don't know who's going to die first. It's more likely than not that the unhealthy spouse will die first, but there are no guarantees on that. So the fact is we transfer everything to the healthy spouse. Now, that oftentimes, it means that we need to change the last will and testament of the healthy spouse to protect the unhealthy spouse in the event the healthy spouse dies first. Okay. Now, Medicaid calls the healthy spouse the community spouse. Okay. So now, how do we protect it? We create a trust called a supplemental needs trust in the last will and testament of the healthy / community spouse. That way, I mean, typically with folks who've been married a long time and they have what we call a sweetheart plan, everything to my spouse and then to our children equally, this does exactly what everybody wants. In other words, if the unhealthy spouse dies first, the healthy spouse already owns everything. So we have very little, if anything, to do. No court administration. It's already done. It's been done by gift. If the healthy spouse dies first, then that means that all of their property falls into this supplemental needs trust that will be managed by generally one of the children or more than one of the children. And of course, the unhealthy spouse needs somebody to manage the property anyway and pay the bills and those kind of things. And the supplemental needs trust is not countable for Medicaid. So everything in that trust, if the spouse has to go to a nursing home because there's no other option, then what's in the trust is not countable. Doesn't matter that it was done within 5 years. That doesn't matter. And there's no limit. So if the unhealthy spouse can stay at home, now they're probably not going to get any financial assistance at home, but the money in the trust, completely, all of the income, all of the principal of the trust is available to take care of the spouse at home, or if it's assisted living or memory care where no benefit is available, then okay, the trust can even be exhausted if necessary. But if you get on Medicaid, then what's in the trust can be used to supplement the care in the nursing home or wherever. And then at the death of the unhealthy spouse, there's no Medicaid estate recovery against it. It can be then distributed to the children without any fanfare or problem whatsoever. So the point is your ability to transfer the property and get it all over to the healthy spouse is based on what? The general durable power of attorney. And the fact is that most seniors don't have the right kind of power of attorney to make that happen. Now, the next thing we have to do and we have to remember is that the healthy spouse also has some beneficiary designations on accounts. You know, the retirement account, you know, your IRAs, 401ks have beneficiary designations. And guess who the primary beneficiary is? Your spouse. Your unhealthy spouse who couldn't manage if he or she received it. So guess what? It's critically important that your beneficiaries are changed to the trustee under your will, your trust under, which is in your last will and testament. You know, this is no-brainer kind of stuff, but it's kind of things that people get wrong all the time. So what I'm getting at is beneficiary designations need to be reviewed far more often than people realize. I mean, you've had lawsuits between children and ex-spouses because of the fact that the decedent forgot to change the beneficiary when they got divorced. You know, things like that. So, you know, beneficiary designations are huge. And I know we need to take a break. And that's what I want to talk about when we come back. If people are convinced they need a new general durable power of attorney, I've done my job because that's so important. Now, it doesn't matter. W.G. Alexander & Associates doesn't have to do it for you, but an elder law attorney who is very up on Medicaid planning, VA planning, and the like, an elder law attorney needs to be doing that document for you, not a general practitioner, not an estate planner that's not an elder law attorney. So be careful because it's really important on who you go to make sure that you get it right when you're a senior.
Reach out to that elder law attorney, and if WG Alexander & Associates is who you would like to reach out to in particular, go to wgalaw.com or call 919-256-7000. WGALaw.com or 919-256-7000. Quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can find information about WG Alexander & Associates as well as their free webinars. Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, any housekeeping we need to get to?
Well, people know I can be long-winded, so I don't have enough time to go into another subject. So I would simply invite my listeners from WPTF, where I've been for 20-some years and have enjoyed that. But unfortunately, I'm no longer on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock on PTF. So as of the end of this year, I will no longer be on PTF. But I would tell folks to check out my website for a big announcement on where to find my 11 o'clock Saturday morning radio show. My website is wgalaw.com, and check it out, not only for my webinars and seminars, but for my radio show as well.
And don't forget that you can always check out the WG Alexander & Associates free webinars and seminar happening the second Wednesday of every month. Learn more by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on that seminars button at the top of the page. Quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. If you need to speak with an elder law attorney, be sure to go to WGALaw.com to get a hold of the team at WG Alexander & Associates. Also, find information at WGALaw.com about their free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, January 8th. Start out the year right if you're interested in learning more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, or asset protection and trust planning or legacy planning. All three subjects are covered in depth with their educational webinars and seminar. No cost is associated with these. You can register for free by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page or calling 919-256-7000. We're out of time for today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.